welcome back to another episode of She's My Sister podcast. Today we're talking all things growing up on a farm, being a farm kid.
So we grew up probably about 10 miles outside of a already small town.
Very small.
Our closest neighbor was about a quarter mile down the road. So, I mean, we were pretty well out there. We grew up with, you know, their backfield was in hay sometimes. Horses and cows and all kinds of dogs.
Chilling on like 55 acres. Hanging out. Not a whole lot back there, though. Just a lot of hills. A lot of sagebrush.
It's one of my favorite smells. Like, it's very reminiscent of home. We thought we'd talk about some of the pros and cons of living in the country.
Con. When your friends come out to your house or give you a ride home, they say, you live out in the boonies. I don't know how many times I heard that phrase.
I remember feeling like people begrudgingly driving me home. Even though, like, when I was in high school and I, like, was able to drive other people home, it was exciting because it was fun to get to drive stuff. Like, it was just fun to be able to drive.
I definitely, once I finally had a car to drive around, I would offer people, like, do you need a ride home? Because I knew how it was to be the person that didn't have a ride and lived in a very inconvenient location. So I was like, anyone need a ride? You guys good?
I remember even if you offered to give someone gas money, a lot of the time that even didn't do it. So it was like, in the summertime especially, we pretty much just had each other to hang out with, which I think is a good thing and sometimes a bad thing, because it's like we were really close because of it. But also, like, when you're around someone a lot, it, like, especially a sibling, I feel like it brings on some fighting and things like that. But we also, like, got bored a lot, so we had to just make our own fun. So we ended up doing, like, all these making up games and, like, really had to use our imagination when we were kids.
I do remember one time when we were being creative, trying to play, and I might have mentioned this before, we were playing tag on bikes with brooms. Oh. And then Katie got hurt, and so we stopped.
I don't actually remember. I don't fully remember this, so I don't know how serious
maybe that's
this
the concussion talking. Yeah. I mean, we didn't get to play it very long before you got injured. I don't think it was a very well thought out idea. Game didn't last long.
I will say, growing up out in the country, it makes you tough. There were times, like, it was very fun riding horses, but I know we've mentioned troubles before, and man, she gave us some troubles. But away from home,
yep.
And then she would realize, like, oh, a kid is riding me, I can get away with more. And then as soon as you would, like, turn as if you were going to start heading home, she would just bolt. And you're just holding on for dear life, like, don't fall off, don't fall off, don't fall off. And as soon as she got back to the house, she would stop.
She was lazy.
She was kind of like, I'm done with this. Yeah, I think each one of us got carried away by troubles at some point.
Yeah, I didn't stay on.
Amy, you jumped.
In my defense, I thought I was going to, like, my foot came out of the stirrup, and I thought I was going to go, like, under her belly if I, like, didn't hop out. I thought, like, I better bail while I have control.
I can tell you what happened exactly, because I was behind Amy on Sierra, and Amy was in front of me on Troubles, and Dad was in the very front. What happened is we were riding, like, up on the hill behind our house, and it was, like, flat, and then we came to a little spot where it, like, kind of dipped down and then back up again. On the downward slope, Troubles kind of started, like, kind of broke into, like, a gallop a little bit. And Amy,
She broke out galloping because she wanted to go home.
Well, Amy decided, like, that was going to end right there. And she jumped off.
Safety was at the forefront of my decision. And I, you know what? And then I got to ride home on Dad's horse. And Dad walked and led the horse home. So it all worked out for me.
There you go. Oh.
And when we got home, Troubles was eating off the haystack. So it worked out for Troubles, too.
I feel like we have to talk about Troubles' good qualities, too, because she wasn't all
bad.
Did
she have any?
Troubles was very sure-footed, though. Like, I went on lots of trail rides with her, and she was like, if we went up, like, a rocky slope or across a creek or anything like that, she never slipped. She was always just very steady and did great as far as that goes. Like, I think
that's true.
It was kind of like when we were little, she knew she could get away with stuff because we weren't strong enough to, like, control her. But then as I got older and like we were riding more and stuff, she actually, we became kind of buddies because she realized she couldn't do anything like that anymore. And so it was like, then she was just, I preferred riding her than Sierra. That's for sure. So
I agree.
We had two horses that us kids would ride growing up. We had Troubles from the time we were little. And then we got Sierra when I think I was probably...
We were still pretty young because I was only like 10 or like maybe like 9 when we got her.
Yeah, we were still pretty little. And so, but it was nice because that way we could go on like trail rides with more than one kid because Dad would always ride Captain and he was not suitable for us kids. So we would...
Let's just really quickly elaborate on the name. He was named Katie's Captain. And we had another horse named Jimmy Jump Up, and I would just like to say how
horses. They always have funky names.
Fair it was that we did not have an Amy's Amazing Horse or anything like that, and Maddie didn't get one either. Like, what the heck?
One thing too, though, with like race horses is you'd have to like submit names, and like you would give them several options, and then they would like select from the names you submitted.
Are you saying they wouldn't have accepted an Amy's Amazing Horse or anything like that? Because I think they would have. To do with the fact that we were the younger grandkids and grandpa wasn't racing horses as much by the time we got older, and neither was dad.
In our family, we had lots of cousins, and our grandparents also were into racing horses, and our dad trained race horses, so that's how like we ended up with X race horses. But the grandkids got race horses were named after them, so that's how my grandparents would name the race horses, is they'd just name them after each grandkid. It was just kind of like a family thing to like name the horses after like the kids and the grandkids. But by the time Amy and I were born, it was like my grandparents had kind of stopped racing horses. Like they were getting older and they didn't want to have to take care of as many animals. And then we already had Katie's Captain and Jimmy Jump Up. So it was like we didn't need any more horses.
Well, they could have named like a donkey after us or something.
I wanted a donkey named after you.
Maybe if it was like a little cute one.
And this stubborn ass here, we're going to name it Amy.
All right, well, we wouldn't have said that. Jeez, I was thinking more like the nice donkey that like let Mary ride on her the leader. Like, come on.
When you said donkey, I immediately thought of Donkey from Shrek. So, you know what? Every once in a while, personality does remind me slightly of you, Amy. So,
I'm sorry. What?
I don't know, Donkey, he's like outspoken and just very spunky. All of his good qualities, he doesn't really have any bad ones.
He never stops talking.
Well, I mean,
that's like a running theme that he never shuts up. Maddie!
We would also board horses for other people at our house. And I have some cool memories of like a couple of them like having foals while they were at our house.
So, Billy and Bonnie.
Yeah, like waking up one morning and there being like a new little baby horse at the house, and that was really neat.
There were two foals that were born like within like a day or two of each other, and the moms and the foal, you know, they were in the same big pen, and so Maddie and I would go in there and we named one Billy, and he would come over and play with us and like buy our sweatshirts, and he was very friendly. And Bonnie was a little more shy, but that's because her mom was kind of, like, protective and didn't let her complain.
Do you remember why we named them Billy and Bonnie?
I do. It was the Raising Dragons book series.
I was so into those books at the time.
Well, I don't think I ever read those. They must have been kind of, like, after I was out of those kind of books.
Bonnie had wings, and Billy could breathe fire, so it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
We also got to do 4-H and raise cows. We had some cattle out there. So my first calf was Ella, and our brother Jimmy had Calvin, and we got to bottle feed them, raise them from cows. That was really neat. Like, I remember like waking up and like making the bottles and getting to feed them, and they're just so sweet like as they're eating, and they were like really cute, and then they grew up into great big cows.
That is it. I remember you not enjoying Ella as much when she became
Ella.
I remember you not enjoying Ella as much when she became like a big cow and wasn't just like a little calf anymore.
I mean, she was still very, very gentle. I mean, like after being raised like that, and like I could completely groom her and get her ready for shows and stuff myself and lead her around and everything. But when they're just little tiny calves, they're much cuter. And when they don't hurt when they step on your feet.
Did we talk about showing cows before on the podcast? I can't remember.
I don't think so.
Because I got a calf to show to when I was, I don't know, I think I was like 12 years old. And I got this little baby calf and her name was Betty. She was super sweet, super cute. I'd like lead her around like she was a dog, basically.
Yeah.
Her name was Betty. Why does that not sound familiar at all?
You don't remember her?
I remember her, but in my mind, her name wasn't Betty. I don't know why.
Dad named her that. But I remember when I, like, so basically when you would show them at, you'd show them at the fair. And yep. At the time when I was a kid, I thought, like, you just show the cows, like, as a way of people to, like, study how animals move and to, like, be able to see how, like, animals look and sound and things like that. Like, I didn't realize that the point was basically to get, like, the fattest cow and to show basically, like, how good of a purchase this would be to, like, stock the freezer.
They're going to eat Betty.
Right, because a lot of times they would do, like, an auction afterwards, and, like, the kids would bring out their, it was a good way for a lot of kids, like, to pay, make money, like, put money towards college and stuff. Like, they would bring their cow out, and then people would bid on it.
Yes, and I understand all of that now, but at the time, like, I didn't really realize that that was the point, and I showed my cow, my calf, when she was still really little, like, she's still a baby, which made it more fun because I could, like, lead her around and it was easier and stuff. But I went into this pen with all of these massive, massive cows, like, huge. And I'm in there with my little tiny calf. And it just looked so funny. Like, all these big, big cows and then my little one. And we were, like, leading them around in circles. And then you would, like, have them stand there and you would, like, you had this thing and you would like hook it under their feet so that they would stand with all
four. Oh, the first. Show stick. Yeah.
Yeah. It was so that they would stand with their feet perfectly like in
line. You'd rub their little, you'd rub under their tummies to keep them happy.
Yeah. You'd rub their tummies with the stick to like make them feel like they were getting petted basically. But I remember I was like, man, Betty did so good, but I came in last place. And I was like, what the heck? Like, she did so well. But then, like, I realized that they were judging more so based on, like, how meaty these cows were than, like, how well they walked in the circle. Like, you do get judged on how well they, like, do what you want them to also.
But I would always place really well in, like, the showing and fitting section. So that's basically, like, how good a job did you do, like, clipping them and getting them extra super clean and how well, like, how well trained are they? How responsive are they to you? And like, so we'd always do well in that section.
Yeah. I don't know what the other section was called. Like, how do they say that without just being, like, the meaty, beefy cow section? I don't
remember. And then you'd also get, like, judged on, like, how clean you would keep your area and, like, and changing their water and food and everything and all that.
Which, it actually, like, it does teach you to be so responsible. And
oh, it does.
It is definitely good for, like, building skills like that and everything. And then Katie also showed our dog one time, Patrick. Katie, do you want to tell the story of you showing him?
Well, I was told that, like, hey, like, they're trying to get, like, more kids, like, involved in other aspects, and they were like, hey, do you want to try this? And so I was like, well, sure. And I figured he's, like, a pretty well-trained dog. And I show up, and one, I had no idea, like, I had never watched, like, the Westminster dog show or any of that. But I show up in, like, a normal high schooler outfit, and I look around, and all the other kids are in, like, formal business attire with, like, suit jackets and, like, slacks or, like, dress skirts on and, like, dress shoes. It was one of those, like, oh, I'm unprepared for this. And then you were supposed to have your dog, like, they all sit in, like, a line, and then they're supposed to stay, and then you walk away from them and go to the other side of the room and then call them. They're supposed to stay there until they, like, the judge gives you the go ahead and they come after you. Well, that was a big fat failure because he did not do that at all. So then we kind of, like, I basically trotted along next to him and walked around. But we got a nice participation ribbon.
I just remember at one point, because I was watching this, I remember at one point you were supposed to have your dog just lay down and just stand across from them and wait a long time. And Casper did it for a while, but then after a while, he got up to kind of go, like, check in with you. Kind of like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And it was like, I mean, that's kind of sweet. He just wants to make sure you're okay.
Yeah.
And he gets some pets. Like, and I don't blame him.
I remember when you were doing the lay down part, you know how, like, dogs have two ways of laying down.
They're, like, doing, like, the Sphinx pose.
Yeah. And then you get to Casper, and he's just, like, all comfy, like, laying on his side. I mean, technically he was laying down, but it wasn't right.
See, he was smart enough. He probably was like, if I do really well, she's going to make me do this again. So,
yeah. It was one of those things where I kind of was like, I had never done it before. I didn't have anyone like showing me how. And so I was like, okay, we'll give this a shot. And then I show up and it was just like, I am woefully unprepared as I'm looking around.
Oh, gosh.
But it was a good learning experience. Oh, yeah. I don't remember if that, I think it was a different time, but I also did some cat judging.
Did you feel qualified for this cat judging?
Yeah. Well, they were just kind of like, hey, we need more people to like participate in this activity. And so basically they would bring cats out and you would have to like, basically like you would a dog show, like judge the cats.
I'd be like, 10 out of 10 for all the friendly ones.
Exactly. It was kind of like, well, this is a fluffy boy. I like this one. And then they'd come out and it's like, yes, this one has a nice fluffy tail. I had no idea what I was doing, like marking things down on this like paper.
The kids were probably getting their scores back. It's like, hey, who's this Katie person that keeps giving me bad scores on my cat?
Well, and then they did like a cat like fashion show. Like they had the cats like all dressed up in costumes, which was quite entertaining, honestly. I mean, getting like recruiting and trying to get me to like keep doing it at other shows, and I was like, no, thank you.
Something that I didn't think to say earlier, but probably should have, is for people who don't know, 4-H is like basically FFA for like kids, and
maybe you should explain what FFA is.
So Future Farmers of America is for, like, the teenagers. 4-H is for, like, the little kids who are also possible future farmers of America. And, yeah, so we would go to, like, meetings every month. And then you would, like, participate in things like what we were talking about, where you, like, show your cow at the fair or your dog or whatever animal. And
I was club president.
I was thinking about the other day. I was trying to remember the pledge that we had to say. And it's like,
I pledge my head to clear thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hand to larger service, and my health to better living for my club, my community, my country, and my world.
You remember that so much better than I do.
A true 4-H president.
I mean, there was a lot to it. Like, besides that, there was also, you know, like, you could do, like, cooking competition. They had, like, cooking.
I got, like, some trophies for that.
The sewing was pretty cool. I did try the cooking once, but decided it wasn't my thing.
I got a big trophy for my blonde brownies.
Ooh.
I had that in my room for quite some time. Yeah, once you get trophies, you don't really know what to do with them, though. It's kind of like,
There were some pretty good prizes, though, like, depending on the fair, like, for blue ribbon, you know, like, you would get so much money per, like, blue and so many per red. Like,
I got, like, the best award out of all of us one time, and it was for...
So, that, like, little recycled can thing you
made? Hold on, I'm getting to it. So, every year when the fair would come around, you were allowed to, like, enter pretty much whatever you wanted into, like, the craft section, the cooking, the sewing, anything that you wanted to enter into the fair, you could, and then they would judge it, and you could get, like, prizes and ribbons and things like that. And... So one year we had made these like snowman, it was basically an old can.
Well, like an old little, like recycled soup can.
Yeah, it was an old can that we had like painted and put snowmen on the outside of them for like a Christmas decoration. And we had made them at 4-H one time. And I entered it into the fair just being like, oh, maybe this will do okay. Like, probably not. But then I remember Mom had picked up, like, the stuff we had entered and what we had won. And she had this, like, big crate full of, like, goodies. And I was like, wow, what's that? And it was all for me. And it was all because of my little snowman can. And the only reason was because that year they had had like a best recycled craft award. And I happened to have entered my snowman can. And so I like won all this stuff. And I kind of felt a little bit like guilty almost that I had won for that can, because it was like people enter these amazing crafts and like giant quilts that they probably took like the entire year to sew and like all kinds of stuff, and then I won this big grand prize for my can. It was fun. That was exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, one last thing that I forgot from back when we were talking about cows. So Maddie, I think this was Betty. But one of the cows was a little escape artist. She could shimmy underneath the poles, underneath the corral poles.
Yes.
And get out like none of the other cows had.
That wasn't Betty, though.
But you're right. One of the calves, they would just like crawl out on their belly.
Yeah, I could have sworn it was Betty. I remember one of them did that. Because, I mean, a couple of them did it like once or twice, but one of them did it all the time. I remember once, I think you guys had, we had to go to school maybe. And yep.
I remember having to chase the cows more than once.
Yeah,
but get out and run across the street and go play in the hot field.
So we that grabbed too. The tennis rackets and we like waved her down with the tennis rackets like until we cornered her and brought her back in. But so whenever someone like, so I just kind of preppy now, like no one ever looks at me and is like, you grew up on a farm. Like they just don't expect that. So whenever someone's like, you grew up on a farm, I'm like, I chased a cow in a cornfield with tennis rackets. And they're like, oh, okay. And that's like my go-to, like, I was country growing up. Like, it's kind of funny that we back then had the distinction between, like, be like, oh, well, they're city kids. And I feel bad about it now, but were you just saying it in a negative way? Like, oh, they're just city kids. Like, they don't know how to do this.
Well, it usually meant that they didn't want to get dirty when we were playing.
Yeah, which is fair, you know. But we had, so we specifically had play clothes growing up so we could wear them outside or riding horses wherever we were doing and get them dirty and it didn't matter. Which right. I think is a great thing for a kid, because you don't want to have to be stressed about it getting their clothes dirty. Like, they should just be able to play in the mud. We had this big sled, big wooden sled that our dad used. Sounds gross, but I promise it's not. To haul, like, really old horse manure that had practically turned to dirt. Like, you know, he would shovel it in there, and then he would drag that up the hill and dump it in a spot. And when he would, you know, he'd like hook the big wooden sled up behind his truck, drive down the hop roads up to the hill, dump the manure, and it was old and dry, not dirty. So the kids, like, we would ride in the back of the pickup truck on the way up the hill, and then on the way back home, we would ride in the sled. And
it was so fun.
It was super fun. It was like you got to go riding, you know, ride a sled in the middle of the summer. It was great. But we unfortunately nicknamed the sled the poop sled, which does not sound great to someone who does not understand that, hey, this is really, really old, very dry, not smelly manure that is basically like dirt claws at this point. So I remember I had a friend over and I was like,
I don't blame them.
I don't blame them either. I really don't. But I remember I had a friend over and I was like, oh my gosh, like my dad's taking the sled up. We're going to go ride the poop sled. And she's like, I am not doing that. And I was like, that's fine. I'll leave you here on this fence post thing, because I'm going to go do that. And so she got in the back of the truck. And she was like, okay, this part's fun. And I think she refused to ride in the sled. But she at least like hung out in the back of the bed of the pickup and thought that part was good. But we got the ride in the poop sled. I was not going to turn that down. I was not missing that opportunity. And I didn't care if she didn't like the sound of the poop sled. We went for it.
We would ride it, like, in the wintertime, like, in the snow, too.
But oh, yeah.
Still just forever called the poop sled after that.
Yeah. We kind of come up with a nicer name than that. Like, the disposal sled. Or, like,
just the sled.
I don't know.
We were telling it was.
Yep. You definitely learn to, like, be aware of things. Like, I definitely knew to watch out for rattlesnakes. Like, where we grew up was very dry, mm-hmm. and you had to watch out for snakes coming down out of the hills that might potentially be hanging out in the garden or like in the shop. Or like, I remember several times like there would be like rattlesnakes at our house and be like, Dad, Jimmy and I decided it'd be a really good idea to dig this like super deep like pit.
I remember that
like this ditch side of the house, and then like we took like posts and put them around next to it and then put like a tarp up over it. So it was like a like underground fort, and it was kind of like it was nice and cool in the summer. It was like, I mean, it was deep too. And I went one time to like go hang out in it, and there were a couple snakes in there.
You made a nice little like shaded area for them.
Yeah, it was like, here's snakes. I just made a little home for you.
Oh my gosh. I do remember riding over a big bull snake on my bike and feeling like the bump and then looking back and, oh, that's what that was.
Oh my gosh.
Just gonna keep going.
Amy and I used to ride our bikes up and down and up and down the road like a million times a day.
Can you tell the story about the mail lady coming?
So Amy and I are riding our bikes up and down the street like we do every single day. And usually there weren't very many cars going by, except the mail lady came pretty much every day. And Mom always told us, like, you can only go this far because if you go around the corner, cars might come and you won't be able to see them. I see, as we're riding, pedaling, I'm like, I look behind me and I see the mail lady. And I'm like, oh, Amy, the mail lady is coming. Like, pull over. And I, like, pull over into our driveway. And
okay, I wasn't by the driveway. I didn't have time to get there before the car came.
Okay, anyways, she didn't have time to get to the driveway. So instead, she just, like, just, like, pulls off into the ditch. And in doing so, when she tried to, like, pull off into the ditch, she kind of just fell into the ditch. Keep in mind, the mail lady's, like, coming up behind us. And the mail lady, you guys, was driving probably, like, 5 miles per hour.
It didn't help that the ditch like had a bunch of thorny bushes right behind it, and I just remember sitting in the ditch with my bike in front of me and the mail lady driving by and saying, hey there, like, you okay? Like, yep, I'm good.
Just tried to like play it off and like wave to her like I'm fine.
Yep, just like hi.
Of the ditch, we used to catch a lot of tadpoles in there.
Oh yeah.
That was really exciting, I remember thinking. And then we used to have a horse named Speech Test, and I put it in his...
Oh, no.
And instead of a water trough, he had, like, a really old, like, bathtub that was his, like, water trough. And I remember putting the tadpoles in there.
That's because, Katie, you told us that the tadpoles ate the algae at the bottom of the water... tank, and I remember you told us that we had to get more for them and we needed to scrape the algae off the bottom of the bathtub. And so it was so disgusting. And I remember like I was sitting there and I was like, I gotta feed my tadpole. So I'm like sitting there and I'm like just disgusted, like gritting my teeth, scraping the bottom of this like nasty water.
Why did you guys listen to me?
Because you were older and you made us.
And I believed everything you said to be 1,000,000% truth. So I'm, like, scraping this nasty stuff under my fingernails to keep my tadpole alive. And I don't know if everyone knows this, but tadpoles eventually turn into frogs. So I was like, I got to
raise. Madeline, do you think the people listening to this are just idiots?
No, but I don't know. Like, maybe some people don't know that tadpoles, like, don't have legs. And then they, like, eventually they grow their legs and they turn into frogs.
That part was kind of cool. Like, we check in on them and then like one day they had their back legs and then suddenly they
that was really cool to see. Yeah, that was something we did though. Like, I remember like one of my best friends coming over and being like, hey, you want to go catch tadpoles?
This stuff seems totally normal to us, but sometimes I'm like, I wonder what these kids would go home and tell their parents, and then they were probably like, you did what?
For show and tell, I brought in a jar full of rattlesnake rattles.
I did that in kindergarten.
Yeah, we both must have. Like, it was all, like, the rattles from, like, rattlesnakes that, like, Dad had caught at our house. And, like, it's really cool to look at. But I remember, I just wonder what, like, the other kids were like, oh, my gosh, you wouldn't believe what she brought to school. Like,
Katie, you think that the rattlesnake rattles got people shocked? I brought in chicken legs. Like, Dad, chicken legs. They were pheasant legs. So Dad would go hunting. You don't eat that part. So anyway,
the other part.
I remember Dad was showing me them one time, and he was showing me how like the talons and the claws and like how they move and stuff. And it was actually really cool to see. But
it's gross to think about, but you could like make them move depending on how you.
Well, and I mean, it's kind of like in science class when like you dissect the frog or whatever, see how the body moves of it. But anyways, I thought it was really cool. And so I brought a jar of them to school for show and tell. And then I also brought horse x-rays to show and tell one time. And everyone thought they were super cool. Just so we're clear, like, they didn't think it was weird. They thought it was cool.
They thought the pheasant feet were cool too.
We were young enough when I did the show and tell that they were like, whoa. They weren't like, ew, gross.
So these are the kind of thing, though, that, like, they wouldn't have seen otherwise, you know?
It was like they were getting a cool, I don't know, science fair.
Like a science lesson, yeah.
Yeah. But
that was one of the favorite, like, when I was teaching, that was, like, one of the favorite, like, science lessons was, like, this. We had this kind of, like, special mobile science teacher that would come in every once in a while, and she would bring, like, animal bones and specimens for the kids to look at, and that was, like, one of their favorite lessons.
Sometimes I'll be scrolling online and I see these videos where it's like people showing the way that they're raising their kids, and it's like they have them on this big piece of land and they're growing like homegrown vegetables and they have animals and they just are outside all the time, and it's like, wow, that looks so nice. And then I'm like, that's basically what we had growing up, like,
yeah,
that was like our childhood and it was really cool. And people in the comments are like, wow, I wish I would have had this growing up. I wish this would have been my childhood. And it's like, I feel like when you grow up like that, you kind of sometimes take it for granted and you don't realize that, like, it's actually really a cool experience. And I'm so glad that that's how we grew up. Mm-hmm. Also really, I think, shaped who we became as adults. So
it was very much a, like, can-do attitude, you know?
It was also fun when we got older because we'd have friends over, and when it went dark out, we'd play games. Like, we'd play sardines where it's like one person goes out and hides and everyone else tries to find them, and you want to be the first one to find them, so then you win. But then once you find them, you hide with them. And because we had a lot of different, you know, a lot of different corrals, a lot of different little shops and sheds, there were so many places to hide. It would take people forever, and we'd do it out in the dark. And
that was so fun.
It was so fun. Like, I remember hiding in the tack compartment of the horse trailer one time. And yeah, we had like tons of bonfires and campfires and roasted s'mores a bunch of times. And it was nice that we never had to worry about being quiet as kids, or teens, even. We could be as loud as we wanted and the neighbors would not really hear us.
Right. So. Yeah, that's true.
You know, when you were talking about how we were playing on bikes and we were playing tag with brooms. It made me think of, someone gave us a bunch of hockey sticks for whatever reason. I have no idea
why. Oh, yeah.
And so we decided it'd be a good idea to play field hockey in the front yard.
Yep.
I don't know how many times somebody got whacked in the face or, like, hit.
It's usually Amy during the whacking.
Hey, I didn't know the rule about the whole high-sticking thing. I didn't understand that.
Sure.
New concept.
But, like, with all the screaming we were probably doing, it's a good didn't have people hearing us that were neighbors. But
you know what I told Josie the other day? She wanted to go outside. I'm like, okay, go put your shoes on. She's like, I don't want to wear shoes. I'm like, well, you need shoes before you go outside. And then I thought about, like, I never wore shoes as a kid. Why am I, like, forcing her to put shoes on right now to go
outside? We had the toughest little backyard. Feet. We would, like, run on gravel. I mean,
yep.
It was amazed how calloused. I mean, I remember at the beginning of spring when you hadn't done it for a while, you had to, like, kind of ease into it. And then by summertime, we were like, oh, yeah, full-blown, like, running over sticks and twigs and gravel. It didn't matter. We got this.
Right.
When it would first start getting warm enough, actually, it definitely wasn't warm enough, but we would stop wearing shoes as soon as possible. And it was, like, we would have to go and get the newspaper in the morning. And so it was, like, a toughness tester. Like, okay, run across the gravel. I've got to prepare my feet for the summertime.
Yes.
It's, like, the whole way, like, ow.
That was another one of those things we said about those city kids.
I know.
They just didn't have the tough enough feet.
They also didn't know that you needed to close the door behind you or a bunch of flies would get in.
Oh,
like, they did not understand that. It was like, no, we have animals out here. Flies like the animals.
Yeah, that was the door. Thing.
There are so many perks to living closer to town. Like, it is really nice to be able to order, like, delivery food. And to have a neighborhood to go trick-or-treating in or to get trick-or-treaters. Like, I remember we got trick-or-treaters, like, once in, like, 20 years. I mean.
Right.
Like, one family. There's a lot of pluses to both, you know? Like, but now that I'm talking about it, I'm like, well, maybe I don't want to live in town anymore. Maybe I want to live in the country again.
Right? It's, like, so hard to make that decision. But, like, I have to say, when we did live in town for the first time, like, after I moved out and lived in town for the first time, getting to, like, order delivery takeout food was amazing.
The height of luxury.
Yes, it was so nice. But it also can become such a bad habit because when you live out of town, it's like, oh, I guess we're going to have to cook something. Like, we didn't plan ahead, you know? So it's like, I guess it can be a good and bad thing. But also, like, say you're cooking something and you run out of an ingredient. You can't just run to the store in 5 minutes. You have to, like, drive all the way to town and then all the way back. So it's like,
right. You got
to
get creative and fancy with the spices and do without.
Yeah, find a substitute or something, which sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. But
one time, Maddie and I tried to make a dinner. I think it was for mom or dad for, like, a Mother's Day or something like that. And it said to use heavy cream. And we had, like, some spray in the can, whipped cream. And we were like, I mean, it couldn't hurt to try this, right? And we also had to substitute a few other things. And it ended up being so disgusting, we threw the whole thing out and made spaghetti.
I remember that. We messed it up bad.
Well, we tried.
Yeah. Okay. It's the thought that came up for it. Yeah. That's like when we I think we made, like, mom breakfast in bed when we were little. And we decided to make her garlic toast. And we toast bread with butter and then took garlic powder and just sprinkled it all over the place. Like,
I remember giving it to them and, like, just seeing their looks on their faces, like, I could tell they didn't like it and being so brokenhearted. But
garlic toast it.
They still took bites of it.
That was nice of them.
Yeah. Good sports.
Gosh. Well, you know, if I find a nice little house in the country in Kansas, maybe we'll go for that this time.
Well, and, like, yeah. you can actually feel like you're living in the country without being as far out from town. Like,
it's very true. We were a ways out.
Yeah, you can find a place that's, like, maybe, I don't know, 5-10 minutes versus, like, 30 from the grocery store, you know?
But I remember mom said that when they bought that place, I think it was more dad, he wanted to be sure they were far enough out of town that it wouldn't expand, like, into them.
Oh,
like, to their house. And I don't think they're going to need to worry about that for a very, very, very long time.
No, I don't think so either.
I think they're safe.
Yeah, I would say so.
It is nice, though, because, like, I cannot, like, there's no way. I mean, I live in, I feel like, a very safe neighborhood, but I would never send my little kid, like, my kids out, like, when they're older, I wouldn't be like, okay, go outside and play by yourself, like, in the front yard, or, like, go ride your bike around town. Like, I don't know, there's too many cars. Whereas, like, out at, like, growing up, there was, like, no one out there, and, like, I wouldn't be worried about, like, well, riding your bikes around. That, like,
mm-hmm.
It's not like there's traffic to worry about. Even our, like, high school was pretty far out, though, like, in the mid, like, was, like, in farm country, because I remember, like, cross-country practice. I remember me and my teammates, like, there was a llama loose.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I remember we all, like, were running, like, chasing this llama. It's, like, we're supposed to be running, and we're, like, well, we're still getting a workout in.
Where were you guys when we were trying to capture the cow? We could have used some cross-country.
You could have.
That would have been good. I remember playing football during PE, and, like, right across from the field, there was a fence that had, like, cows in it. Mm-hmm. Like, you had to be careful not to throw the ball in it.
I was talking to one of Aaron's cousins, and I said something about, like, oh, I was telling her about how I'm night blind, and, like, literally can't see anything, and how one time at night, like, I couldn't, it was so dark, I walked right into the haystack, like, could not even see the haystack in the middle of the field. Like, and her afterwards, she was like, oh, so, like, you told me you lived in the country. You meant, like, the country. And I was like, well, what do you mean? Like, she lives in LA. So it was one of those, like, just the fact that we had a haystack was so foreign to her.
You live in the country.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We also had lots of tumbleweeds and snakes, all kinds of things.
Hey, does it make you feel better? I'm also night blind. I think all of us are, but you, Amy, right?
Yes, I am the chosen one.
But anyways, there was one night when I was walking towards the bonfire, and I didn't realize that there was a stack of firewood, like, at knee
high. Oh, gosh.
And I just ran right into it, and I fell forward on my face, and it hurt so bad.
Oof.
But I had to, like, there were a bunch of people, so I had to just, like, jump up and be like, I'm fine.
Whoops, silly me.
It wasn't all, like, Rambo's. Like, you had to break ice on horse buckets in the wintertime. Yep. That wasn't wonderful.
Oh, or if the hose froze, you had to haul buckets. So you would have to take a bucket of water all the way to the horse trough and all the way back and keep doing it until it was full. Yes. So,
and these aren't, like, little pails. These were, like, what, 10-gallon buckets or something like that?
5-gallon.
Okay, sorry.
Amy's telling her future kids. Yeah, and I had to walk uphill both with 10-gallon buckets in each hand in the ice.
Yeah, they might not know. They're going to be city kids, or maybe not.
Who knows? You never know.
You never know. Yeah, it was a pretty awesome way to grow up.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I will say for life, I remember like some life skills that like, so like our dogs got into porcupines more than once. And I remember my dad like having to pull the quills out, you know, like, and they like, it wasn't fun, but they were fine afterwards. Right. And so I remember Amy was there with me actually in college. We were on a little hike and my roommate's dog didn't listen and he ran after a porcupine and got a face full of quills. So we get back to my college house and she's like freaking out. Like, I don't know, what am I going to do? I need it. Like, it was like on the weekend or something. She's like, I need to call like the emergency vet. And I'm like, hang on, relax. I got this. Do you have pliers? And I just remember like straddling the dog and like pulling the quills out. And then like afterwards, she's like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you were here. How do you even know how to do this? And I'm like, it's not the first time I've assisted in pulling quills out of a dog.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it does. It helps prepare you for life.
Yep.
Well, I think that's about all we have for this episode. We hope you guys enjoyed it and got some laughs out of some of our fun childhood stories.
And maybe you learned something too.
Yeah.
Like what tadpoles turn into. Thanks, Maddie.
No problem. Always here to educate. Guys, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a 5-star rating and review. And you can always follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and now TikTok @She's My Sister Podcast.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.